There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go, FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. And as I get this hour started, too, I'd be remiss, and maybe Dalton would say something to me, so I'll do it ahead of time, to remind you, for the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of y'all in our College Pick'em Contest, get your picks in before tomorrow morning. Yeah, you know, you're this many weeks in, don't want to forget a weekend and fall back in the standings where I am, like at 175 or something. You don't want to be in the basement with me. You want to move on up. So get those picks in. All right, continuing the show, this is really exciting as well. And we've been talking to the man behind this interview for a few minutes during the news break. Dave Mossow, right?
Mosso.
With Coastal Alabama Community College, but to talk about aviation and the Alabama Aviation Center at Brookley Aeroplex. Thanks for coming in, and thanks for doing this.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know, I looked at this. So the aviation industry, so I talked last hour about the ag industry, but the aviation industry and Mobile, Alabama, like there's been, you can go back, the reason Brookley's there and, you know, what happened. We have had a place on the map for aviation for a long time.
Correct.
But all the new things in the last, I'm trying to think, has it been 20 years since Airbus came in?
I think I saw a sign that said it's 10 years. There's a bulletin, big sign out.
Okay, so 10 years fully. But I think the discussion maybe happened even before then. But we have come back. Yes. We've had this kind of, and I think this is, you know, a resurgence or renaissance in aviation in Mobile. Would that be fair to say?
I think that'd be very fair to say.
So what are y'all doing with getting our people here locally involved in this business?
The program we run is sponsored by the Federal Aviation Administration. It's called a Part 147 school, which puts us in a position to give students the training they need to take the FAA test for their airframe or power plant license or both. And once they do that, then they jump a few of those barriers to entry. They enter at a higher level just because of their training and the background they have.
I mean, give me an idea, too, what we're talking about for job demand, right? So if we're talking to somebody, them or their parents right now, airframe or power plant, I mean, what kind of demand is out there?
Okay. The demand right now, by 2038, I think, is the information I have.
Okay.
And we need 140,000 new airframe and power plant mechanics in the U.S. alone.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and
that's...
the schools that are supplying these, there are 200 of these schools, FAA 147 schools across the U.S., and they're all, most of them are functioning at about 65% of capacity. So we're not going to be able to fill that need.
Okay. Unless we get some more people. It's nice to hear, like, there's a job... So many news stories come out. Well, less jobs in this sector, less jobs in this sector. Well, here's a shining light. There are more jobs in this sector than there are people working them.
Absolutely. Supply and demand is on the side of the incoming airframe and power plant mechanic. And most of ours have jobs working in the local area here before they ever finish our program.
Okay, that's
and
a tell.
That speaks to the demand that's out there, and they're trying to get them before somebody else does.
Well, that's a nice position to be in. Somebody that's that much in demand that they're looking for you, you're not looking for them.
Yeah, 10 years ago when I was director, companies would come in, both the maintenance companies and the scheduled airlines, and say, we like your people. And, oh, yes, they need 3 years of experience. And I'm thinking, I was a math major, and I can't figure that one out, how you graduate from our program and automatically you've got 3 years of experience. So these students went out and did menial jobs at airports, mm-hmm. pulling planes in and out of hangars and washing them and gassing them till they got 3 years that a company would look at them. Now it's 180 degrees from that, that we can't fill the demand. Even just looking at the scheduled airlines, they're up 5% over COVID.
The number, Delta came back. Delta had a great quarter, I just heard today.
If you listen to that today, mm-hmm. Their summer earnings were pretty great.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Delta, so maybe bigger packets of peanuts on the plane now? We know you made a good quarter. Needs bigger. So I mean, as we talk about these jobs, too, number one, they're in demand. So if we're talking to the parents or the young people,
exactly,
they're in demand. Number two, I'm going to ask you this question. Everybody's going to ask, and you and I talked about this off the air. I joke when we talk about workforce development around here. Anybody who comes in and talks to me, I said, you ever go in and tell the kids, you know, or the parents, what kind of money we're talking about in a job? Because that's, get down to it, that's a big driver. What kind of jobs are we talking about here, if power plant or airframe mechanic?
Well, first of all, of course, they enter the job market at a higher level than someone who's going to enter, say, at Airbus with 3 weeks of training, and they're going to be assembling airplanes. And the ceiling's low for them. There's not a lot of promotion opportunities. But entering at a higher place like this, I think most of the entries are around $31 to $34 an hour. And that works out to in the $60,000 somewhere. And the latest figure I got on family income in Mobile was $57,000. So,
but they can get these jobs when they're how old? I mean, kid, go. Here we go. We got a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. Let's take them through your track with what y'all are doing with the Aviation Center. When's that person working, making that kind of money?
Well, if he comes to us as a recent high school graduate, mm-hmm. it's going to take him 2 years. He'll take, if he starts in that summer, he'll take two classes in the summer, okay. Three in the fall, two in the next summer, three in the fall, two in the next summer, and he's ready to test for his FAA license.
So in 2 years' time?
Exactly.
Yeah, so if you're 17 years old when you graduate or 18 years old, you're 19 or 20 years old, and you're ready to sit for that test. And once you do that, you pass that test, this is the availability. This is who they're looking for. Yeah.
Now, the interesting piece here is we also have dual enrollment programs out in the high schools, and they're getting the exact same credit that we supply. So many of those students, when they see the light at the end of the tunnel, they'll come in the evening to us to get an extra class or two. And we have several that graduated from high school ready to test. So the problem we had, the unexpected consequence is you have to be 18 to take the test. There are a few 17-year-olds that were waiting a few months before they could take it.
But that's great that opportunity is there. How is it? So they, after whatever they do with the regular high school day, they can come these courses or evening or afternoon?
We have both a day program and a night program.
Okay.
And if they're in the dual enrollment program, of course, during the day, that's free to them, including books and everything.
That's a no-brainer right there, Dave.
And in the evening, they can come to us, and it's still free.
So you're giving the education, like, because we have so many people go to college and rack up big, big debt for a job that doesn't pay, or they don't get the job they thought they were going to get to pay off the debt. So there's the job waiting, if you pass that test.
Exactly.
For that kind of money, and you're going to educate them on your dime.
Mm-hmm.
That's
on the state of Alabama's dime.
Yes. Well, you know, you are a math major. I was not. I stayed as far away from the math business or math building at the University of Alabama as possible. Yes, but I understand that.
Well, that's the only thing I was good at.
Also, about, you know, we're talking about young men, but you're looking for women also in aviation maintenance.
Exactly. The number of women are only about 2.8% right now. And there was a stereotype for many years that said a woman had to be able to lift a certain amount of weight to get in this thing. But now all that's so automated, it's not a factor. But the piece that we have figured out inside the aviation building is that women have far more attention to detail than men do.
What was the old thing, forest for the, like the women see the trees, the men see the forest, the women see the detail in things that the guys just gloss over.
Yeah, and they also see the big picture.
So y'all win that one too, ladies. And so, I mean, you're looking for folks, you know, from here, women getting into aviation maintenance, men getting into this, and what I like, and go back to what you said, the aviation maintenance tech schools are operating with 65% capacity.
65.
So you've got, it's... seats are available, and then on the other side, jobs are saying, hey, we need y'all.
Yeah, there are right now across the U.S., there are 12,000 empty seats in these schools.
Wow.
Now, we're on the other end of this because aviation is such a big deal in Alabama, and especially around our area. We opened this fall, and I had every seat filled.
Really? So, okay, let's talk about this. So somebody listening to us now says, I'm interested in this for my child, or mm-hmm. what's the first, give me the steps to lead into getting in.
First thing that they ought to do is call us and take a tour of the facility, because I go through the economics, what they have to look forward to, and then they see the facility and what kinds of things they'll deal with over a two-year period. And then we tell them to go ahead and apply to Coastal. Doesn't cost them anything.
Okay.
It's just coastalalabama.edu, and they apply. They get a student number and all that. And then they come and see one of our advisors to chart out their program. And then they register for the classes, and they're in.
Okay. So, once again, the website, coastalalabama.edu. That starts it, but they can find the phone number there to go on to the next step. Well, I have a feeling that you're going to be continuing to be busy going forward, and hopefully we have a situation you come back one day and you say, Sean, whoa, we can't take any more. The business is full with people from Mobile and Baldwin County.
Well, we're building a new hangar right now, and it'll have four extra classrooms in it, so because we have a waiting list right now.
Good stuff. Congratulations, and thanks for coming in.
You're certainly welcome.
All right, we'll get those links up as well if you need them. We'll get them through our Facebook page or directly on the text line. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 121 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with my buddy Blaine at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. And if y'all thinking about heading north to work at the camp, well, Blaine's already figured it out for you, put a package together. Blaine, explain that to folks. You were talking about it the other day.
Yeah, so we got new packages ready to go right now, Sean. We can build whatever you want, as well as we form that package up in rental. So, you know, if you're not looking to purchase a tractor, we've got these tractors in our rental fleet, made a package where you get the tractor, a disc, a tiller, a bush hog, a spreader, and the trailer, everything you need to go to the camp to plant food plots with. We got the deal running on all of our rental equipment right now. Now through the end of the year, you pick it up on a Friday after lunch, return it to us by Monday at 10 a.m. As long as you keep 10 hours or less on that piece of equipment, you will only be charged for one day rental versus 2 days. So that's been a really hot ticket here lately. It doesn't just qualify on our tractors with our package deal that we formed. It qualifies on everything we have in our rental fleet.
All right, let's also talk about RTVs, and man, you've seen the one. So I've got a little older RTV from Kubota, which I love, is reliable, right. But these babies have become, they're fancy.
They are. We've got plenty of them in stock right now, the gas models and the diesel models. Got the two-seaters and the four-seaters, as well as the enclosed cab in all different colors, so if you're in the market looking for a new side-by-side, come by, see us. We'll be happy to help.
Okay. Tell folks how to find you online, too. I mean, in person, but online.
We're right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale, right here on Highway 59. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturdays, 8 till noon. You can give us a call at 251-947-4171 and visit us online at parrishtractor.com.
Hey, thank you, Blaine.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, Blaine checking in from Parrish Tractor. Yeah, pretty good deal. They get everything on the trailer. You just back up to it and go. Let's see. And thanks. A lot of y'all texting in from last hour. And big thank you to Eric Street coming in and talking about, farming right here in our neck of the woods and, you know, what they're facing out there. Let's see. This texter said years ago. First of all, this unnamed texter says, Sean, I still want some cremate peas. You started it and I missed them. So we're on the search for cremate. My connection for cremates, I'm going to talk to her tomorrow and I will quiz where we can get. There's got to be some frozen somewhere we can get down here. And then maybe next year we'll make a radio station pilgrimage up to Andalusia and buy a whole bunch. Also said years ago, we farmed 2,000 acres in Coffee County, but lost it all in the Carter administration. You know, that's one thing I worried about because you look at this from 1940 to now, and it's been a long time, but from 1940 to now, you were looking in the 40s, you're looking at 40%+, maybe close to 50% of folks worked on the farm, had a family farm. To now, we're looking at 2 or 3% of people out there. Where does it go? Ella writes about this, says, Sean, you asked where we are with farmers in 50 years. Great question, considering that today there are more farmers over 65 than under 35 years old. Think about that. Yeah, but this is what, you know what, I talk about it for ag. Ella, I also talk about it like my friends in the bayou. Like, I wonder, like, the next generation is not getting into running shrimp boats, right? Where's that go? When they don't have the next generation, there's like this, it's just aging out, right? Ella goes on to say, think about that. What I can tell you is go to the Delta. So Ella's talking about Mississippi Delta and see how those folks continue to operate. And that's by using H-2A visas with folks coming over from South Africa primarily. These are large farms, farming paid for ground, but have to seek workers from outside the country to keep their farms farming. Like John said, it's hard to see a viable long-term future on the farm these days. And that's it's a terrible shame. Larry says, what's the average pay for a starting aviation mechanic? So like Dave was talking about, right now, starting salary, $31 to $34 an hour, so $59,500 to $65,000 per year. That's the frustration, right? We talk about the unemployment rate in Mobile. Like, we'll have one story, unemployment rate or non-workforce participation rate, right? Because they're two different things. In a place like Mobile, Baldwin County, but think about Mobile specifically. And then it's not just Dave here from the Alabama Aviation Center coming in. It's Bradley Byrne with the Chamber. Business leaders come in on the show and they say, hey, Sean, we're looking for workers. I'm like, something's amiss here because I think there's more jobs out there sitting waiting for people. We're not filling them, but at the same time, you have people not working or taking a job. Here's the other thing. I'll say the uncomfortable thing here. People may go out and graduate high school and go to work, and they go to a job that's minimum wage or a couple bucks over that has no growth in future, no skill set. While there's a job that pays that kind of money that has a future in it that goes unfilled. So, I mean, something is breaking down because, like, you know, Larry said, I said, wish I was making that right out of high school. Yeah, me too. Gosh, I wish I had been making that 10 years out of high school. Supermom says aircraft mechanics, that's my son's job in the Air Force. He does not make that 3 years in. Think about that. So now one thing is, I think you could come out of that job in the Air Force, and if you came out of the military, you could probably step into that job pretty easily. Also, Supermom says, I could listen to this man talk more often. Okay, you're talking about Eric. He needs to be a regular. Farming is so important. Something supporting local is more important. Very much so. And, yeah, this is, I mean, there's, in the ag world, all the farmers are dealing with certain things nationally, right? But it also depends on what they produce, what they farm. But then there's a subset of issues in any area, you know, ours being, you know, Southwest Alabama versus somebody in the Midwest, somebody in the Northwest or the Northeast. It's, you know, but there's certain things that affect all the people in the farming world. And people are saying about the private equity thing. Oh, absolutely. That's the thing that you got to figure out. Private equity realizes, and they have run lease prices up and cash rent up, buying up farmland, right? You've heard all these stories where they're buying up the farmland. So they realize something, right? The value in that. But in the meantime, the people that are producing this, once again, think about that margin. Whatever business you're in, there's a margin. And think about having a world where, like somebody said in the text, which is, I mean, something my grandfather used to say, yeah, farmers, only people that buy retail and sell wholesale, but they're getting squeezed in that margin when there's lack of profit in a given year, but the input costs come up even though the market didn't come up. It's just, it's can't go on forever, for sure. All right, coming back, talk about education. This is a school I've talked about, interviewed one of the teachers there several times on the show, and I always ride by there and go, they're doing good stuff there. How good? Well, they've been recognized for how good. The Alabama School of Mathematics and Science has been recognized nationally. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
134 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday, and a good time to check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Anna, this gold thing is something. I mean, now $4,000 plus. This has made a new record this week.
Yeah, I mean, an all-time high again, and it's been nonstop. Everybody's been coming in and buying gold because, you know, they're suspecting that predicting that it's going to hit five before the end of the year, which I can't say for sure. If I had that kind of, you know, if I could foresee that far into the future, I'd be rich, I guess.
Well, I mean, but I don't know what it does tomorrow. I have no idea. But I know just watching this year, you know, it's 51-52% return. I wish equities did that. I know y'all talk about precious metals as a hedge, as part of a total portfolio. Don't do everything in one basket. But the hedge now is somewhat outperforming some of the other parts of people's portfolio.
Oh, yeah. And I have people that are coming in to sell their gold, and when they bought this stuff, gold was at like $1,200.
It's good motivation. Hey, and listen, silver, I don't, like I've said forever, I didn't have the money to get in gold back in the day, but I've been buying silver from y'all for a long, long time. Silver set some new records this week, too.
Oh, yeah, it's hit over $50 an ounce, and, you know, I think silver's going to continue to grow strong. I'm not really sure about gold, but, I mean, I don't mean for it to, like, jump up significantly, but I think it's going to steadily probably keep growing, the silver.
Well, steady wins the race. Let's talk about people coming in. Like you said, y'all are buying from people as well, so if people want to sell their gold or silver or want to buy more, how do they find you?
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. You can also find us on Facebook, on our website, mobilebaycoins.com, or you can give us a call here at the shop. Phone number is 251-725-1590.
Hey, thank you, Anna.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. There goes, because she's busy. She's so busy right now selling precious metals, she hadn't had lunch yet, so we'll let her go have lunch. Mentioned as we went to the news break, congratulations for a school, and I did read this on their website, but it makes sense. That before STEM was cool, they were STEM. It's the Alabama School of Mathematics and Science, or math and sciences, as uneducated folks say, and getting some accolades, not just here at home, as they have, or just in the state, but nationally. So president at Alabama School of Mathematics and Science, and the chief recruitment and communications coordinator joining us, President John Hoyle and Stephen Floyd. Thanks for being in here.
Thank you for having us.
And congratulations, guys.
Thanks, man. It feels good.
Yeah, so this, and if y'all didn't see the news release, I know we put up something on social media yesterday, but y'all were awarded what, I mean, there's a long list of accolades. This big one here nationally, let's talk about this, where this school that's right here in our home ranks nationally.
We're in the top 20 in the nation. So there's a company called Niche.com, and they look at a lot of data. Schools don't just give them a little bit. We have to pour in a lot of data into these rankings, and they take their time picking through it all. And we came out the 19th best school out of about 21,000 in the whole country, right here in Mobile, Alabama.
That is it is awesome. The stories here at home are so good about it, but to know that you always do kind of wonder, how do we compare? Like, it's great here, but how do we compare that highly over the country?
It's an incredible school, and it's made so because our students are incredible.
Well, I was going to say, what's the secret sauce here?
How's this happen? We have great faculty and staff. Our teachers, most of them have PhDs, so they're not traditional teachers. They're more like college teachers, and they treat their students like college students. And so they have a very high bar that they set, and those expectations are met by the students who come to us from all over the state.
Yeah, so let's talk about the idea of the school, of Alabama School of Mathematics and Science. When did it start and why, I guess?
It started in the 80s, in 89. So Senator Ann Bedsall, people may be familiar with her, she was amazing, and she fought for the school. She knew that there was an appetite in the state for an advanced school that would get kids into medical school, into STEM jobs. And so, like the press release said, we were STEM before it was a buzzword.
Yeah. I mean, this is, yeah, now it's identified as STEM, but early on y'all identified. And why was that? Why was it just saying that, was it where the jobs are? Did you reverse engineer it and say, here's where the jobs are going forward, let's use this as our curriculum, or was it something else?
Senator Bedsall is a genius. And she saw that there was a need for people to get ready for these high-powered jobs, engineering jobs, math jobs, science jobs, medical jobs. And so that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to see what was on the horizon and then meet that need. And that's what we are. We're a turbocharged STEM pipeline.
Okay. Now let's talk about some of the things that makes you different. Rankings make you different. The fact that you said treating them like they're a college kid. It's a resident school.
Every student lives on campus. So imagine that. You're living and learning next to these great students. You get to be friends with them. You study with them. And we may not be athletic powerhouses, but we're an academic powerhouse. And the kids really rally around each other and help each other get through the hard curriculum.
What age do they matriculate into the school? What grade?
10th grade.
10th grade.
So you can come as a 10th grader or as an 11th grader.
Okay. When they come in here, and you did say something that makes so much sense to so many people, that maybe the total is bigger than the individuals, meaning that when you're around other children.
They lift you up.
Yeah. Or they set, you know, I remember this just from school, you study with this group of people. If they're at this level, it makes you pull yourself up, right?
And I mean, that's what's happening here. That's absolutely what's happening.
Yeah, so you're like, oh, this whole group of people, I gotta get with the pack. You maybe even use the teenage desire to be part of the club and say, you know, these people are pulling this way, I'm going to go that way.
It may not be so cool to be smart in some places in the world, but
what about inside
being
the
really
campus?
Cool? Yeah. It is very, you know, it's rewarding, and it's all right to be cool at our school.
Yeah, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Sure.
But you don't need to be a genius to go to the school either. You can just be a hard worker who wants more out of life.
Yeah, that, listen, and that seesaw, and y'all obviously see it in what you do, but there is the person that comes easy to them, right? The brain power to do that, and the hard worker. I will say, argue, maybe looking in my lifetime and decades since I left school, the hard worker that had some, they end up sometimes showing out way more than the person that was gifted with all the, you know, all the brain power.
And that's still the case, because what we're also finding is that if you have some leadership skills, you're going to go pretty far. You can be bright and driven, but it's leadership skills that will set you apart. And we have something that we've added in recent years called the Joe Bonner Leadership Academy.
Okay.
And we've really figured out a way to get kids to understand that being a leader isn't just telling people what to do. It's actually digging in, doing some of the grunt work yourself, setting good examples, challenging other people along the way. There's a whole leadership course that – we help kids navigate at the school. And so that's a wrinkle. And then we do a lot of college level research as well. And can you imagine if you're putting a resume together for college to tell the college you're going to, I've worked with this cancer institute or this professor at South Alabama on this research project. You're going to look really good. And we make those things happen every day.
Versus the person who says, well, I was the sergeant at arms at Key Club. Nothing wrong with that.
That's fine too. Not disparaging any of that. But being a real leader and doing those sorts of internships or research projects, they set you above.
Yeah. You're talking about the leadership thing too. And it seems like it's more of like a bumper sticker slogan. But I mean, leading, they don't call them pushers, they call them leaders, right? And you really do see that. And you could see those people and learn those skills. And
you want your doctor to be a leader. You want your engineer building your building or your bridges to be a leader. So we know that this is going to be in demand down the road. And so we're trying to instill those values in the students who graduate.
So, and in the curriculum there too. So, I mean, we're talking about being STEM. Is it different and is it only, science, technology, engineering, math? Or are they going to do English or social studies or those things in the school?
Our humanities courses, and this is no secret, are just as good as the STEM courses. They have to be.
So they're getting a fully rounded education.
They do. And there are state requirements involved, like a student has to have to graduate high school 4 English classes that they take. So we, of course, have great English classes.
Now, as people graduate there, I got to imagine that they are pretty good recruiters. I know you're in recruitment, Steve, but I'm saying, like, if I come from Wherever-ville, Alabama, so it's, school's here, y'all, but like President John said, they kids come from all over 67 counties. If I know my cousin or somebody went to it and they come back and they talk about that experience, that's got to be a great recruitment
tool. We don't have Alexander Shinar's budget for billboards. I mean, we're a public school, right. Public school means.
But that kid goes back to hometown.
Yeah, so we rely on word of mouth. So that is our number one recruiting tool, is people having a good experience, going to college, becoming successful, and then understanding, all right, that hard school that I was mad at, that made me really think and learn how to study, that helped me get to where I am now. And so you're right, that word of mouth is powerful.
And that's right now, we're in the middle of our big recruitment season, and I'm traveling all over different areas of Alabama, and when we go into those areas, we try to find alumni from that area.
I bet that helps icebreaker be like, hey, this is the guy from down there.
Right. Well, because I work for this school, so it's one thing for them to hear from me, but to hear from a student who grew up in their neighborhood down the street from them or went to their same middle school and high school they did before they went on to ASMS, to hear from somebody actually from their area, it means a heck of a lot more than it does coming from me or even Dr. Hoyle.
Now, capacity, how many students could you have?
We can have 300, but we started the school year out with 302. Okay. Don't ask. We have converted rooms that were used for storage into dorm rooms. We would love to build a new dorm down the road because there's a hunger for what we have to offer.
Yeah, I wonder, so the application process, when you go in and you're recruiting, what is that? You come into a rising, I guess you'd be a rising 9th grader, 10th grader, 10th grader to 11th. What do they do?
So when they go on our website, asms.net, you'll see that admissions tab at the top. The first thing is to get the process started. You create an account. Once you get your account created and it's been processed through us in the admissions department, then you fill out the application. And then there's a lengthy process because we only have so many beds at the school, so we want to make sure we're picking the right students who we believe can be successful at ASMS. So you have to have 2 recommendation letters. You have to turn in a standardized test score, your grades from last year, from this year, and then there's an interview process with us. Once you make it to the end of that application process and you're selected for an interview, you'll sit down with a member of the admission staff and do an interview, which is really just a conversation, because through the admissions process, we get to know the students in the classroom. Mm-hmm. We know them pretty well, what they're like in the classroom. But it's
who they are.
Who are you outside the classroom?
Yeah.
Learn, do they have hobbies? Do they have interests? To just try to, like we say, make sure that they could succeed at ASMS.
Look at this text coming in from Ultra Runner, says ASMS is Alabama's brightest success story in education. It's a dream come true for our kids who love academics, incredible teachers at a residential facility with its own board, and Go Dragons. So you got some
awesome.
Go Dragons.
Love to hear it.
Shout out. So people come into school. They stay. It's residential. what is their school year like? Is it mirrored the other public schools? Does school go back on the same date? Do they get out for Thanksgiving on the same date? I mean,
we do have all those breaks.
Okay.
And we do understand they're still in high school. So we've got to have breaks built in so they can go home and be with their families.
Right.
So that's important. But we're on the trimester system. We're not on a semester system. So being on a trimester system allows us to have more opportunities for kids to take classes.
So
we have over 240 classes that we offer. You can't take all of the math classes at the school.
How do you staff that?
It's very hard, but who work on our faculty, they love teaching. They love just being that teacher. And I teach classes, other staff members teach classes, and so we have built a great community of educators who just love that pure ability to connect with great students.
And I think, too, about people like you and y'all there, you probably see what the new class should be before maybe the slow-moving battleship of education does. I'm not trying to dog anything out, but, I mean, at y'all's level, looking at what might be in demand. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could be cliche, AI or whatever, but there's things you could see that might take a statewide system. It's going to take some time to implement all those things.
And I'll tell you what one of those is right now.
Okay.
COVID did a number on kids in many ways, but one thing we are trying to counteract is their ability to talk to people and just have normal conversations. And
that's good.
Keep things going with eye contact. Those sorts of things are invaluable. When you go and get a job one day, you want to know that employer you're hiring has some, and I don't call them soft skills anymore. They're power skills now.
We always called them soft skills, but
they're not anymore. I mean, because you're not soft.
Yeah.
You're powerful when you know how to talk to people and communicate.
So, I mean, so picture y'all, that's what I'm getting at here. I mean, where would that be? Curriculum at ABC High School in Wereverville, Alabama, going,
But they live on campus. So in some ways, just the fact that they are in that environment, having to talk with their roommate about, I don't like rock and roll. I don't like your country.
Mm-hmm.
You keep it too cold. No, I want it warmer. Just those interactions give them a leg up on communicating with other people and overcoming problems.
They would be the going to college, they'll be the best roommates ever because they've had to deal with it before versus the rest of us that had to figure it out when we were 17 or 18 years old and say, who are you?
That's what our alumni say. They say they make seamless transitions to college because they're not slowed down by having to figure out how to do your laundry, how to navigate roommate problems, how to find food, etc.
I say that in the recruitment process all the time that I think it's understated how much our residential portion of the school really sets our students up above their peers when they go to college. For our students, for some of them, it's just a fourth year that they've been doing it. Some of them, it's a third. Whereas you've got kids leaving home for the first time from a traditional school that are learning what it's like to live away from mom and dad for most of the time. Where do I find my where are my classes at? What buildings am I going to? I need to set an alarm.
Did you follow me my freshman year at Alabama?
No.
That
was my freshman year at Alabama. It was the exact same. And our students have to set their own alarm. There's no bell telling them when to go to and from class.
Good.
There's no one holding their hand, getting them to the cafeteria for lunch, getting them to the cafeteria for breakfast in the morning. They have to get themselves up, get themselves fed, get themselves to class, get themselves to the next class, get themselves the study hours. So that independence part of being a residential school, I think, is vastly understated of what it does for our kids when it goes to going on to college.
And that's not for everybody. It's for enough unique kids who can do this and do it well. And it really changes their whole life trajectory.
Well, but it's because I've thought about y'all for academic prowess, right? I mean, that's, that precedes you. But to know that the socialization or the power skills, not the soft skills, but that's such a big part of life, and that's
bigger than
there's class, like you said, but there's also, like Stephen just said, just getting yourself, I mean, parents of teenagers with me, preach y'all, getting yourself up on your own. It's your job to get yourself up and be ready. That's huge. I mean, that should be a 300 level class, but get yourself up and get there. But once again, this ranking here, I want, as we wrap up here, this is, first of all, we'll go through, I mean, we know number one, the state, but nationally out of, what did you say,
21,000 schools, we're ranked number 19.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. We're grateful.
I mean, it's great. It's a testament. It's a testament to everybody there. I know there's a bunch of y'all that make this happen. I mean, with 210 math courses, I mean, how could it not be? But I mean, there's so many of y'all make it happen. So thank you to y'all. And obviously, thanks for the kids out there, the smart Alabama kids making this happen as well.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations. And once again, if somebody's listening, because I'm sure I'm going to get a text here, I want to get my child involved here. Where do they go to sign up?
We also have a summer camp. So
okay.
Middle school kids can come to the summer camp. It's also residential, but day. But you can visit us at www.asms.net.
All right. And I'll second what Ultra Runner said. Go Dragons.
Thanks,
go
Dragons. Go Dragons.
Hey, thank you.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, y'all, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. It's a good, great time, actually, to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars to talk about inventory here on a Friday. What's it looking like?
It's good, Sean. We've got quite a few cars in inventory. One of the things we've got, we sold one of them. We got another Hyundai Sonata, 2020, Bose stereo roof, the panoramic roof, the whole deal, leathered up, really nice car. And we've been doing well. There's a lot of interest in it lately. Hyundai, Kias, you know, they're all really good cars in the later years. And we sell a bunch of. And don't forget about all the SUVs we've got. You know, we got a Suburban, a Yukon XL, and an Escalade ESV. So we got plenty of inventory in stock.
Okay. Financing, people talk about, you know, looking at the market in general. How are the rates right now?
The rates are in the mid-fives. You know, they came down a quarter of a point before they lowered it at the Fed, and they came down another quarter. So we got some really good rates, and we've got the rates that the people are going to have to pay that, you know, have bad credit. But we can get you back in the market and get you reestablished. So give us an opportunity. We can try to help you.
All right. Tell them how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. Or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Hey, thanks, David.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. David McCrary checking in. Actually, he's checking in. Maybe we get a deal right now because he's checking in from on the road. He's on his way to Auburn. So, I mean, when he's gone, they'll probably make you whatever deal you want when you go by and see him there at LCM Motor Cars. He's heading to Auburn. Auburn, of course, on tomorrow. Auburn, Georgia, right here at FM Talk 106.5. So, you catch the game tomorrow. And also, a reminder, College Pick'em. Make sure you got those votes or those picks in on College Pick'em before the games get started. All right. Gosh, I didn't run out of time. I'll read this one quickly. I got just seconds. George says, my son is ASMS alumni who recently graduated UAB with a full ride, now works for the Department of Energy at Oak Ridge National Laboratory. ASMS, the staff, Dr. John Hoyle, are absolutely amazing and such a blessing to the students and parents. It's good stuff. Good for you and good for all of us here in Alabama.